Now, if y'all can't get excited about that, we'll have your funeral this afternoon after lunch. Excellent, ladies. Good to have y'all back. So y'all write songs, mama writes songs. Huh? And daddy listens. Huh? Are they sisters? I think so. We can find out from mom and dad real quick. I think there's a third one, isn't there? Yeah, see? Two wasn't enough, they had a third. But excellent, excellent music. We appreciate y'all coming. Have your Bibles take and open them up to the book of Isaiah. We're going to look in the Old Testament first, then we'll get around to the New Testament. But we want to start out with Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7 and chapter 8. No, I'm not going to read both chapters to you, but we will take verses out of it at the very beginning. Isaiah chapter 7, to start with. We live in a time here that seems, even as mentioned, can happen indiscriminately, may not be a focused attack, but we live in the time of escalating threats and evil, declining morals. And so we see that throughout our world today with a lot of events that most of us would never have dreamed anybody would contemplate doing or would occur, not only in all of mankind, but especially within our world and our nation or our state. But yet those things are occurring, and we understand that from prophecy that the time is drawing nigh, that the Lord will return, and we look forward to that. But we also understand that, as I say, things through the prophecy tells us it will continue to get worse. However, with that, you and I have to persevere. And so the title of the message is Persevere, Don't Give Up. And a lot of times, we have that tendency. I know yesterday, we're back in football season and different games are on, and I didn't have time to sit and watch a whole one, but I was kind of in there watching Notre Dame was playing Arkansas, and Notre Dame had had six possessions of the ball and scored six times, all touchdowns. Arkansas wasn't doing so good. And it was that was halftime. And at halftime, the announcer said, somebody better put a spark in them. You can't just roll over and give up. And I thought, that kind of has to do with persevere. Don't give up. And so we, like a team that is trying, always aspiring to win, you and I cannot give up. Even though the road gets tough and we think sometimes, what's the use? I'm just one person. It's just easier to get along. And folks, that we have done too many years of trying to just get along rather than standing our ground. And so here this morning, we want to look at that, about what God's Word says. And as always, we find the Old Testament gave prophecy of our Lord coming. And we see that with our Lord and with the world, that it comes full circle. And so we want to look at that, about the persevering and what exactly does that mean. And we as Christians, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And it's not only his, he gave commandments to us that he heard his Father speak. And so we want to look at those commandments as Christians. What is our duty? How do we persevere? How do we keep from giving up? And so we'll start in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7, beginning with verse 14, invite you to stand if you're able to honor the reading of God's Word. We're going to read one verse here, and then we're going to go over to chapter 8 and look at it. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, And the prophet writes, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, over in chapter 8, beginning at verse 11. I told y'all I'd always like, especially like in the Old Testament, there's never a doubt of who is speaking or given the word. As Isaiah starts in verse 11, he says, "For the Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand," meaning with emphasis, "and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, do not say a conspiracy concerning all that this people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. For many among them shall stumble, and they shall fall and be broken, and be snared and taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait on the Lord, who hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. Here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells on Mount Zion. And when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testament, to the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. They will pass through it hard pressed and hungry. And it shall happen when they are hungry that they will be enraged and curse their king and their God and look upward. Then they will look to the earth and see trouble and darkness, gloom and anguish, and they will be driven into the darkness." You may be seated. You may say, "Well, preacher, that's kind of some dark scripture there of telling what is to come." But let's look at it in the sense that God gave it here for a moment. First, we started out in chapter 7 with 14, and Isaiah is saying that God himself will give us a sign. He says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel." The people 2,000 years ago from the beginning of time have always looked for that Messiah to come. You and I do the same today, or at least we should. The Messiah came. You and I look forward to the time that he will return. And he will do that because he said so. And what God says in his words will happen. Chapter 8 then follows up with Isaiah saying that the Lord spoke to him, and he said he did it with a strong hand, meaning with great emphasis, that it's emphatic and something that needs to be listened to and adhered to. He says, "and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of the people." Every day we see all of the things around us. The New Testament tells us that God takes us and that we are a priesthood, and that we are a peculiar people. In other words, one that should be different than the rest of the world. And Isaiah was saying the same in the Old Testament, directly from the Word of God. It says, "He instructed me, do not be like these people. Don't do the things that the world does, that it clamors for." We talked last Sunday that people, and we've seen this here in the past few weeks, and the rise and the thing how God has used tragedy with the death of Charlie Kirk, but at the same time, as always, as Paul told us, there will be you know, that God will get the glory. He has used that for people to have an awakening that there is a truth. And folks, that more than anything is what people today look for. They're looking for the truth, the foundations of truth. We've gotten away from teaching the Bible. We've gotten away from in our schools or having prayer in our schools or even having Bibles in our school. We've done it throughout our governments. They want to take anything. They believe in this separation of church and state. They misunderstand. They need to go back and read the history. It was for the government to stay out of the church, not the church out of the government. And it's because that is where we get our morals and our statutes and how we should live. And so what has taken place is we've turned everything upside down. You see it. What was bad is now okay and acceptable. What was good, oh no, that's bad. We shouldn't do that. We might offend somebody. We turned it upside down. You and I, for the most part, an older generation, not picking on any of you, but an older generation, were taught the truth. We were taught real history. We were taught real biblical things that we could carry with us. But the youth of today, there is no definite black or white. It is a big gray area. And so what happens is people today, and young people especially, are looking for some solid foundation that they can lean upon. You look at our families, how the devil has infiltrated to destroy the family, and suddenly we start seeing the rise of gangs and all. And if you talk to the little gangbangers that start out young, you know, why did you join a gang? Because they're my family. I have a family. We all desire to belong. God made us that way. We look for fellowship and relationship. Why? Because that's what God created us for. To have a relationship with Him. To be a part of His family. So when we take away those things here on earth in our world and lead and be able to lead people towards the real truth of family that you need is God Himself and a relationship with Him, it leaves everybody in turmoil. And through time, it gets worse and worse. Isaiah continues forward here in verse 8 that he says that the Lord of hosts in 13, Him shall you hallow and let Him be who you fear. In other words, Him's who you give respect and revere. The fear is not one of shaking, but one of honor and respect. And then when he goes into the next one, it says, and let Him be your dread, for everything one day will come under His judgment. That's what you and I have to dread. And we can never be good enough on our own. We can never keep all of the commandments. We cannot do perfection because we are a flawed people because of sin. But God saw that and loved you and I so much as He tells us in John 3:16 that He sent His only Son to die for our sin, that we could be redeemed. Christ redeems us and allows us for the Father not to see who we are. He already knows everything we've done, but through the blood of Jesus, He sees you and I as righteous, as holy, or as Peter says, a priesthood. And the only way we can do that is through trusting through His Son. As Jesus Himself said, no man comes to the Father but by Me. You and I cannot get to that Father. We think and we see in our world, you know, all of nature cries out about God. We have a place here in America called the Grand Canyon. Some of you have had the privilege of going and seeing that. And it is a great divide from one side to the other. Folks, that's a picture of heaven and hell. That great divide. The only thing that can bridge that great divide is named Jesus Christ. And your personal belief and faith in Him is the only way we get to the heaven side, to the Father. Otherwise, we're stuck on the side that the Bible calls hell. It was never meant for any of God's people. He continues here in Isaiah. He says that our Lord in 14 will be our sanctuary, that rock of ages. No matter what you and I have and what we might be going through, we can always have one friend that will never leave us nor forsake us, and that is God Himself, His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. He says, but that He will be a stone of a stumbling block, but yet a rock of offense. Two different ways. Jesus Himself said that He came not to unite, but to divide. What was He dividing? He was dividing between those who believe and trust and walk in the faith and those who do not. But yet to those who believed on Him through His name, you and I have an offense, a rock of offense to be able to put away the devil himself. And we spoke before, in the name of Jesus, you and I have the power to tell Him to get out of our lives, to get behind us, to take away those temptations. We don't exercise that near enough. And it takes a strong faith and believing in that faith. When I say a strong faith, what does that mean? One without doubt. When we come and we pray for somebody that needs prayer, whether they're sick or whatever it may be, it isn't as though, well, I prayed about it and I hope that God hears. No. Or, well, if the Lord will. No. If we commit it to Him, and it's within His will that we prayed that prayer, it will be done. Amen. Scripture tells us that when two or more of us gather and bind something here on earth in His name, it's bound in heaven. If it's bound in heaven, it's a done deal. You know, we have plenty of examples of that. Debbie talked about, you know, and I did last week with our own, in our lives with selling some property and some house. When God's in it, you better hang on. That train left the station, and it's a bullet train. You know, and yet we stand back going, I just can't believe how fast all this happened. Why can't we believe it? If we prayed about it and God's in it, get ready. You see, that is the biggest thing that hurts you and I as a Christian. We commit it, but then we doubt. That's exactly what happens. Because if that doubt exists for you and I, if we believe and we confess who God really is, and through Jesus Christ that He's all-powerful, that He kicked the devil's butt, He already has won the victory, what doubt is in our mind? I'll go back to the football game. I don't know what the final score was with Notre Dame and Arkansas, but I do know this. At halftime, it was 35-13. I have a pretty good suspicion Notre Dame won that game. Why? Because I saw him kicking butt. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did to Satan himself. Why would you and I, if we accept Him as our Savior and we know that His Holy Spirit then lives inside of us, why would we doubt that He can do anything He says He will do? He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He said, once you are in my hand, whom my Father has given me, no one or anything can take you away. We're His forever. Oh, do we mess up? Sure we do. But He took care of that too in His infinite wisdom. He said all we have to come before Him and confess our sin and repent. I mean, turn the other way. Go back doing something else. Isaiah, back to our text here real quick. He continues forward. He says, bind up this testimony in 16 and seal the law among my disciples. If you're a believer in Christ, you are the disciple. So, but preacher, this is talking about Jerusalem. I have news for you. In all of Scripture, Jerusalem represents God's family. That means you and I. We were not born Jewish, but we were adopted in. We talked about that many a time, even in the state of Texas. Once you adopt a child, you can't get rid of it. He's yours from now on. And I'm just thankful that God adopted me. He can't get rid of me. Okay? And for the rest of you that have children, if they're yours, yes, in the state of Texas, you can divorce them. Go away. See, we don't do that. but especially those that are adopted. I made the comment to Miss Donna earlier today. Good Lord takes care of fools and children. I know my age. Okay? I may not act my age, but I know what my physical age is. I think that's what he was talking about. I'm just glad he made a way for the fools. And so we're in his hand. He continues forward in note 17. And this is something our world does not understand at all. In 17, I will wait on the Lord. Patience is not a virtue we see anywhere in our world today. You don't believe me? Go take a trip down the highway. We don't care if it's double stripe and there's a big hill coming up. People will pass you. We watched about a week ago people pass us on the double yellow stripe, and there was two lanes going one way. That wasn't good enough for them. They will pass you. Yeah, they'll pass you on the shoulder. They're in too big a hurry, and we wonder, why do we have all these accidents? Well, how about you take your foot out of it and relax a little bit? Take a deep breath. And folks, I'm here to tell you that's also what is wrong in our world, not the driving so much, but the fact that we're impatient. You and I need to take a breath, a real big, solid, deep breath, and wait on the Lord. Because you're going to need that breath when he's in it. It's going to move real quick. You'll know exactly when you're within his will, because every obstacle that was there told you before disappears. Things just fly through. So we, as Isaiah says here, I will wait on the Lord. And then notice the bottom of 17, and I will hope in him. Too much today we see in our world, people put their faith in things, in the stock market, in gold, in government, in people. I don't care how good you are, at some point, if I put all my faith and trust in you, or you put it in me, we will fail each other. We will do something that finally we look at it and go, that dude ain't really what I thought he was. He makes mistakes like everybody else. She makes mistakes like everybody else. You're exactly right. Because we're people. But you see, God himself is sovereign. In Jesus Christ, we can place our hope, because he did exactly what the Father asked him to do. He never wavered from that. He was human just like you and I. He didn't want to go to that cross, but he gave up his will for the Father's will and went to that cross and endured all that he had to endure that he might redeem you and I. That's perseverance. That is not giving up, but staying true to where he was at. 18, he says, here am I, and the children whom the Lord has given me. You and I also have to understand, God gives us many children, not necessarily bloodline children. And it comes in all different ages. It's folks that you and I have the opportunity to mentor or present the gospel to, and if they already have accepted Christ, then to bring them up. As Paul tells us in the New Testament, in his writing, he says, me and you are to teach young men how to be men. Women, you are to teach ladies how to be young women and ladies. Each of us have a role in teaching that. Those are the children that we bring them up. Notice the rest of 18. He says, for we are the signs and wonders in Israel. We are the signs and wonders in our world. We're to shine as a bright light. Jesus tells us that in Matthew 5:14. He says, you are the light like a city on a hill that others can see everywhere. He tells us individually, no one lights a candle and then puts a lamp over the top of it to hide it. You and I are to be the light of the world. And he concludes that by saying, let your light so shine. That doesn't mean we're better than the rest of the world, because we were right there where they were at. All that means is we have been redeemed. And what they should see through you and I is not us, but His glory, His light, His honor. Every good thing that I accomplish is not of me, I assure you. It comes from Him. That's why He changes a heart and He goes through and makes things brand new. And so we see there that He says, we are the signs and the wonders of Israel. From who? From the Lord of hosts. How rich we find God's word in the Old Testament. However, turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 2 in the New Testament. We will find that same emphasis, the same type of things that we find in the Old. Jesus and the apostles, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, give us the same evidence of what we should be seeing. Here in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul writes this to Ephesus, "And you He made alive, who were dead in the trespasses and sin." How true that is. You realize, physically it's true as well. The moment we are born, the moment we take that first breath, we begin to die. It's by grace of God that we extend some to 98 and beyond. But you and I begin to die. The body begins to die that very instant. I've often said, if I knew back then what I know now, I'd have been a lot nicer to my knees. They begin to die quick on me. I don't like that. But notice what he continues to say here. "In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air." In other words, Satan. For the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. It was interesting to hear some people say this past week, "Well, I just don't believe there's demons." Question was, do you believe there's angels? Yes. Well, then I assure you there's demons. If you believe in angels, you have to believe in the demons. There's always two sides to that coin. Verse 3 says, "Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." See, we're not any different. Unfortunately, the world oftentimes looks at us and what they see. Yep, it went out. What they see with Christians is the fact that you just think you're better than I am and better than others. And I don't go to church because it ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. Because they go there on Sunday, but I see them in the real world the rest of the 6 days of the week. We are to be humble. There is nowhere that Jesus, giving us His example, came and lorded over anyone. He was very humble in nature. He was the epitome of being the servant, as you and I have to be. The servant. But yet, when it comes for us standing for His statutes, we are strong and bold soldiers. Not with wrath, but with prayer and supplication, as He has taught us. He continues forward here in verse 4. He says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By the grace you have been saved." Aren't you thankful for that grace and His mercy that He's bestowed upon us? Look back one chapter in Galatians chapter 6 here in verse 9. As He reminds us, we close this about persevering and continuing forward in following His statutes and presenting them as a light to this world. In Galatians 6 and chapter 9, Paul writes this. He says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." tells us right there in today's language, don't give up. And remind us what Isaiah said, and I will wait upon the Lord. We wait upon Him, we persevere. You and I may not see the benefit of prayers that we have for some people in our lifetime. But I assure you, God's word says He never sends His word out to perform something that does not occur. What He sends it forth for, it does, and it returns to Him fruitful. Those prayers that you and I pray for people, those prayers that we put before Him, God takes that and will use that. We may not see it, but I assure you, and I fully believe, it happens. God touches those hearts. If they're pliable at all, He touches their hearts with what you and I have prayed for them, and especially for the spiritual needs that they have. Finally, we understand one day that judgment will come. Turn to the book of Revelation, which is known as the book of prophecy. I am yet amazed by those pastors who will not preach or teach the book of Revelation. It's kind of like those that don't have anything to do with the Holy Spirit, because that's spooky. That ain't spooky, that's comfort. Jesus Himself said, I will send you the Comforter. I can't imagine what life would be without that Comforter. When things aren't going right, guess what? I can always take it to Him. And even though you or I may not know how to present that prayer, that Holy Spirit makes intercession that it is the right words. It has the right meaning. It has the urgency. It has the sincerity when Jesus hears it. And Scripture tells us He sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. It's a channel that flows 100% so that our Lord understands where we are at. In Revelation chapter 3, in verse 10, our Lord is speaking. Jesus is talking to the faithful church here. In verse 10, He says, because you have kept My commandments to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on earth. That is a promise and a comfort to you and I of looking forward to His return. If we keep His commandments, He says, I will keep you from that hour of trial. We've seen some folks recently in a couple of years past went to that trial who were imprisoned by the ISIS and asked to denounce their faith in Jesus Christ or be killed. He kept them from their hour of trial. Were they killed? Yes, they were. But just like Stephen being stoned, immediately they were in the presence of Jesus Christ. Immediately. I'm reminded always, as people, we become fearful sometimes of the words of Paul. He said, if God be for us, who can be against us? All you can do is take the life out of this carcass. You cannot take my life because it is His who gave it, and it will return to Him in the same manner. That comes through a belief and a faith and a hope in Jesus Christ. So today, question becomes, do you know Jesus Christ personally? Not a head knowledge, you believe there's a God. But the fact that you believe and know without a doubt He lives in your life. The second question that comes to those who already know Him, are you being the light? Are you being the light to the rest of the world? Probably for most of us that answer is, well, sometimes. And I've thought about that. What if God was only God to you and I sometimes? And then I think about all the different times he's been in things. And he's kept me safe. The blessings he's bestowed upon me. And I go, I don't want it sometimes. I want him all the time. See, he created us to have a relationship no different than the relationship we have with folks. We want them to be true and faithful all the time. We want God to be true and faithful. And guess what? That's reciprocal. God wants us to be true and faithful. No commandments out of being beat over the head with them. Those commandments are for our benefit. They're for our safety. You see, if we stay within His hedge of protection, in other words, His will, those promises are all true for you and I. Long as I keep focused on Him, I don't get detoured on paths that take me wandering around as the children did for 40 years. He leads me straight down the path. Sometimes old Siri in travel, she gives me wrong instructions. Every time that happens, you know, it tells me to turn left when I know it's right. I've already been there once before. I'm reminded that the devil always twists things. And he done went and twisted Siri trying to get me off path. I know where I need to go. And the same is true in our daily lives. You see, if I listen to Siri, I'm listening to the world. It kind of becomes the example. But if I listen to what I know, as Paul would tell Timothy, he said, what you have heard from me, persevere. Stay steadfast in what you know is divine. That book and the things written in it are divine. 100% from God Himself. He imputed His Spirit and His words in man to write so that you and I and all generations would have His indisputable word. The world will make light of different things and try to disprove it. And the more they try to disprove the Bible and what's in it, the more proof they begin to find out that every single bit of it is true. Because God cannot lie. So whichever one you're at this morning, you're one who's believed. And maybe there's some things you need to let go of to let God actually let your light shine. There's no reason for us to be fearful when we talk about the gospel because He'll give us the right words. And oftentimes we think, well, we got to be perfect because we're talking about our Lord. He's always perfect. He'll take care of what we say. He'll let you know when to speak. The Holy Spirit will prompt you. Holy Spirit will also prompt you when to shut up. If we listen, or if you're here today and don't know Him, we want to give you that opportunity. So I invite all of you to bow your head, close your eyes this morning.